The parable of the 10 virgins. Ready? Thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lamb over our hearts, our minds. And thank you for this parable, God, that's come up in word and conversation during our worship time. And, Lord, that you're putting it to us, the body, and to those listening today to strengthen us, to encourage us. This is from Matthew 25. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. Parable of the 10 virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were prudent or wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in their flask along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent, or the wise, they answered and said, "No, there will not be enough for us and for you too. Instead, go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered and said, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." We're talking about of the second coming, which is when he's coming for his people. If you read 24, we've talked about that. So I'm not going to stay there. But let's go back and break this down. After Matthew 24, which is talking about the second coming of our Lord for us. That there's all these events that will happen, and then he's coming for us. It says, then, when he comes, the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise or prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flask along with their lamps. He said, "I'm the light of the world." There's many people, including demons, that know that Jesus is the Son of God. And there's people who live their entire life believing he's the Son of God. They never surrender their heart or their sin to him and allow him to make light within them. The Holy Spirit is spoken of more than one time as wine and as oil. As oil. To receive Jesus and to refuse his oil, the Holy Spirit, who was given for what? To comfort, to guide, to strengthen, to teach us the truth, to bear witness. He convicts of sin. There's a lot that the Holy Spirit does. He's the paraclete. He's the one that was given to stay with us. Jesus left those disciples, but not as orphans, he said. "I'm sending the comforter to you. I'm sending the one who's going to help you." And he said, "Stay in Jerusalem till you have been clothed with power." You don't just need salvation. You need power of the Holy Spirit. And to have salvation without the power of the Holy Spirit is a mistake, especially at the time of the end. You have to have the Spirit to discern truth. You have to have the Spirit to be able to have the power to overcome the temptations of driving in your car and answering a message and people sending pornographic stuff day and night and having it everywhere. The people of Jesus' time didn't deal with the temptations that we deal with. We have temptations flying at us almost like a locust. A locust herd, you know, that's just hitting us. We need the Holy Spirit. And it says, there were 5 that took no oil, none. But the wise took oil in their flask along with their lamps. How do you get the oil of the Holy Spirit? First of all, you ask. Second of all, you spend time in the presence of Jesus. You spend time worshiping him, going deep. Not just 2 songs and an offering and a 10-minute memo. I'm talking about you stop dealing with horizontal and you get vertical, where we look at Jesus, we meditate on his beauty. It's not about the needs of the people in the room. It's about worshiping him. It's about adoring him. We pour out our love on him. And as we're pouring out our love on him, he pours out the oil. He pours out the oil. He pours it out. See, the Holy Spirit and him agree. And so we have to have times of being still. We have to have times of adoration. Listen, if this was about memorization and just knowledge of the Bible, then those Pharisees would not have missed him as Messiah. But they did not know God. They did not know God. They did not, in their hearts and in their spirit, they didn't know God. They didn't have intimacy with God. They didn't know his character. They didn't know his voice. And you can't know his voice without the Holy Spirit. You can't know his voice without the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the one. And so, Father, today we just say our oil could definitely use some boosting. We need oil. We need oil in our lives, and we thank you, God, that you're pouring it out, even as we were worshiping early, going into that deep place. But, Lord, that we ask. You said you don't have because you don't ask. We ask for increase of grace to press in and lean upon the shoulder of Jesus and to receive the oil in increase in our lives. We not be so quick to want to minister in gifts to each other, but that we want to minister to you, God. When we come to this place, we will learn to minister to you first and foremost. Get our eyes on you. Get our eyes on you and minister and adore you, God. You. The bridegroom. The bridegroom. Close your eyes for just a minute. Picture a wedding. People are hurrying, scurrying. They're all about how things look and the candles and the flowers being right, and even people attending to the bride. Attending to the bride. But who's attending to the groom? Who is attending to the groom? See, it's the lovers of the groom. It's those very intimate, close that get allowed into that bridegroom chamber. And that's who he wants us to be. Attending to him. Attending to him. It has to become a priority in order to have that oil. And so, Lord, we just thank you for removing the distractions. Removing the distractions and returning us to our first love. You would be the priority. That we long to come together. We hate it when we don't get to come together corporately or even individually, God. That we would begin to rebuild the altars in our homes. And if we've never had one, we'd build one. If we've never had a life of adoration to you at any point, at any time, we would begin to be purposeful, to have a time to adore you, to seek you, to find you, to meditate on your beauty. Thank you, Father, for doing that in our lives. Look at verse 5. It says, now while the bridegroom. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. He told in Matthew 24, he's going to delay his coming. And here he's telling he's delaying. He's delaying. That means he's merciful. For the sake of the harvest, he's delaying. Okay? He's delaying. It says they all got drowsy and began to sleep. Listen, Tyler, one of the things you've been dealing with is the oppression of the world, the trials of the world, if you will. And the same way with his disciples, right before he was crucified, and he told them, I'm about to leave and I'm about to be lifted up, and you know, but I'm going to raise on the third day. They didn't understand that part. All they heard was, you're dying, you're leaving. Oh my goodness. And so while they're in Gethsemane in prayer, they start falling asleep. It says their eyes were dreary. They were heavy. They were heavy with oppression. They're heavy with the sadness of him going. There's a natural place that our flesh has got a sadness right now of the good old days ending and us entering a time like no other. Okay? Like where there's maybe not abundance in everything that we've been used to having. Okay? So it's like a dying or a circumcision of flesh. Nobody goes, oh, yippee, I can hardly wait for that. No. No, there's a soberness. There's an alertness. There's an awakening that's happening. And there's a holy place for us to go through some grief. Some grief. But to surrender it to him and grab a hold of that joy God's been talking about. The joy of we're citizens passing through. This is not our home. This is not all. This is a wink. This is a blink of an eye. We have all of eternity with him. Amen. And so it says, For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil, none. But the prudent took oil in their flask along with their lamps. And it says, while he was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. So I'm trying to say to you, even though you're spirit-filled, doesn't mean you don't ever deal with that oppression, that depression that tries to just make you want to go to bed and wake up and it be a different time, different day. But we have to fight that with rejoicing. You know, it says the spirit of praise for the mantle of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The mantle of praise, that means to focus on him and to focus on thanking him for all the good, focusing on him. Focusing on the good for the heaviness to go. Amen? Because it is a lot of stuff happening. There's a lot of people in hospitals. There's people that are having health breakdowns. There's all kinds of problems that are happening. But we had to focus on him. And then it says, at midnight, there was a shout. At midnight, there was a shout. Behold, the bridegroom come out to meet him. And then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. We've been looking at the second coming of Christ. It says the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those that are alive and remain. 1 Corinthians 15:51-58. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Well, we've been looking at Revelation. We're not to the last trump. We're not even to the last seal. There's seven seals, then seven trumpets. So we know that there's some things in front of us to go through if we're alive on the earth. And so we got to keep our eyes on him. We got to keep looking for him, because the truth of the matter is he came for a friend of mine 2 weeks ago. We thought we were going to have him forever, and we didn't have him. We don't have him anymore. He went to be with Jesus. His shout came early. You're not guaranteed tomorrow, so we need to be looking to the bridegroom. It says, all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the prudent, to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But look, it wasn't possible. See, you can't give your relationship away. Oh, people think they can give their anointings away. I'm going to tell you something. You can't give your anointing away unless God has said to share it. God gives anointings for work and for purpose. Elijah was able to share it with Elisha, but notice he didn't share it with the whole school of the prophets, because God wanted him to share it with Elijah. That was something God gave. Right here, the oil that's secured through intimacy with Christ, through time in the Word and in prayer and just waiting, sometimes being silent for long periods of time, waiting on him. That oil, that can't just be given away. Each person has to get their own. And look at this. They said, give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out. In Matthew 24, it says, the love of many will grow cold. In Romans 5:5, it talks about the Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God into our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit who puts the love in there. If we're not spending time in intimacy with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, through his help, then our love is waning. Our love is waning. We don't want our love to wane. We don't want our love to grow cold. We don't want our love to disappear. It's like gasoline. We have to have it put back in supernaturally by the power of the Holy Spirit. So here in this parable, they say, oh, well, this is a resource. Surely you can share it. Give us some, because our lamps are going out. But in verse 9, it says the wise said, no, there won't be enough for us and you too. It's like the manna. Each person gets their portion. You don't have extra portions to hand out supernaturally by laying hands or just proclaiming it. You don't have that to do. God's not going to allow that. Each person has to get that oil from him, period. And they answered and said, no, there's not enough for us and for you too. Instead, you go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. But look at this. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. What does that mean? There's a point at which there's no more oil to get. There's no more oil that you could even, in your intimacy time. We are in a time that God is giving us. Let me say it this way to you. We're in a time right now where you have a Bible. We're in a time right now where you can come to a house and worship God. Right now we're in a time you can ask a brother or sister to pray for you, and they're going to lay hands on you and pray for you. But there's a time coming that Chinese Christians have dealt with, African Christians have dealt with, where there were no Bibles. They were taken away. There were no sisters and brothers to fellowship with because they were either in jail or they had been killed. There's a time coming for each person where there's not time to somewhere in the future go get it. That's why today is the day. Regardless of everything else you got planned for today, make sure you hear what I'm saying. Today's the day. We don't want to put him off. In our hearts, we need to say, God, I need more. I need more. I need your Holy Spirit, and I need more. I need a sobering of the time, and that I don't waste the time, that I don't put you off, that I don't procrastinate, because there's a day coming where there's no more time. No more time. No more time to have a private time with God. No more time to do what I wish I had done. And see, there is a, and sometimes people also say, well, I'll just do it when I get this. But see, the conviction's there now. If the conviction's not there, they think they're somehow doing this by the power of their mind. It's not by the power of our mind. By the power of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, he enables us to repent. And so, Father, we just thank you right now. So it says, and they were going away to make the purchase. Thank you, sis. And the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, they went in. Now let me say it this way. Those who were wise are ready all the time. My friend that died a couple weeks ago, he's ready all the time. I've been in his house and I've been in his altar with his wife. And I spent days praising God in his house, right there in that altar. And it's like a prayer tower. It wasn't something he did for show or for once a week Bible study. It was something he did every day. So I feel quite sure he's ready. And he went straight there. And it's not to say that we work for our salvation. Not at all, Tyler. I'm just saying that when he came to God, he stayed hot. He stayed hot. He had a real relationship talking to God daily. You know, it wasn't like putting him in the trunk of the car and just, well, we'll let you out, Jesus, next month. I'm kind of busy. I'm going to do this. You know, no. Jesus was riding up there right next to him, telling him how to drive, you know. But it says, so when he came, those that were ready, they went into him to the wedding feast. And look at this. And the door was shut. Well, God shuts, nobody's going to open. What he opens, nobody can shut. And he's opened our hearts to have relationship and communion with him. He's opened our hearts. And so we don't want to take that lightly. You know, he was dealing with me this morning saying to me, remind the people, you were chosen. You didn't choose him. On your best day, on your smartest day, you still wouldn't have chosen. He chose you. He chose me. He chose us. He chose us. He let us know him. He revealed himself to us. Look at the story of Jacob and Esau. It says, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. Esau didn't never know God the way Jacob did. Because God chose Jacob. He chose you. He chose you. In verse 11 it says, later the other virgins came. And they said, Lord, Lord, open up to us. But see, this is indication of people who have made their golden calf, who have made their Jesus. They've torn out the pages they don't want and they've formed their Jesus. See, it wasn't based on when he wanted to come. It was based on when they wanted. Okay? Let me say this to you with all of our lives. You know, he's called each one of us to do a work. Question is, Are we doing it today? Are we answering him today on what it is he's asking of us? Or have we put him off and said, well, someday I'll do that. I'm going to do it, God. I'm going to obey, and I'm going to answer, and I'm going to do what you asked me to do someday. Be careful, because someday never comes. Someday's always there in the future. You know, you want to say yes today. We got to live our life in a way that we're saying yes today. And he's truly Lord and we are not. You know, he gets to determine. He gets to decide. These are people that didn't want anybody else determining when things happen. They're determining. They're trying to determine. They fooled around. We'll get the oil later. They never got it. The door shut. And then even with the door shut, they come and they say, hey, please, open up to us. We're ready now. And he's like, no, I say to you, I do not intimately know you. That's what this no word is. This no is like a husband and a wife. This is, I don't know you. I don't know you. This is not somebody born again and just forgets God. This is, he knows who's been born again. This is people who had a mental knowledge and they don't know God. They have no intimacy. They have no relationship. In other words, let me say it for anybody listening. This is not religion. You hear me? This is not being baptized into a church and filling out a card. This is surrendering, knowing what you're doing. You surrender your sin and your life and your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, come, sit on the throne of my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. And then you begin developing your relationship. He might talk to you through the word of God, but do know that it says in John 10:27, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. So if you're born again, you can hear his voice. You can hear his voice. And so we need to not only talk to him and tell him our concerns, we need to stop and listen and practice the art of listening. Because we're not hearing his voice today. We better question whether we're saved and go, God, you said my sheep know my voice. He didn't say a lamb. But how long have we been walking with God? We should know his voice. He speaks through his letters, his love letters. And the word, he speaks through a billboard you see, and you keep seeing this sign everywhere you go. He's speaking, see, through the repetitiveness of something you keep coming across. Just like her giving that word with that scripture, that's not coincidence. God is speaking through her. See, boom, right there. That's Jesus in her speaking, saying, yes, I gave you that. I'd encourage you to literally put that on an index card and put it where you see it every day in your bathroom. Every day. Because, see, that's a verse. Well, and so he's wanting you to know that you know. And so, Tyler, listen to me. How does she know that she knows that verse? It's like a goat or a sheep that chews it and swallows the cud, and they it comes up and they chew it again. It sounds kind of gross. But in other words, they're getting all the nutrition out of it that they can possibly get.
It's part of me. It's
yes.
It doesn't matter. Anytime I go through anything, that's just...
And yet, he's still wanting you to chew it, see?
Yes.
Take it word... Each word, ask him where else that passage is even similarly put. Look at all those passages. Just keep reading it and chewing it and letting it really become so that when you're faced in that test, everything inside your cellular body is rising up. It's screaming that word. See, fear can't stand in the face of a promise. I'm going to say that again. Fear cannot stand in the face of a promise, okay? When it's part of you and it's no longer just something you thought you heard or somebody else said, it's in every fiber of your being. See? Then the devil can't taunt you. He tried to taunt our Lord. He had to face every kind of temptation that we will face, including feeling abandoned. His flesh felt abandoned. My God, why have you forsaken me? His flesh felt abandoned. He had to feel that for us. But by faith, he knew he was going to be raised from the dead. He prophesied it beforehand. He knew he'd be at the right hand of the Father. He knew. But he had to face that test, just like we have to face tests. So he says to these that were not wise, he says, I don't know you. I don't know you. Lord, we want to know you. We want to know you. Help us know you, God. Help us know your word. Let us meditate on you, the Christ, the living word. And let us know you. Let us know your voice. Even better, let us obey your voice. Let us not be hearers only. Let us be doers of what you say. Even when it's costly. You told the rich man, leave everything. But he refused. So in other words, our dreams are surrendered on the altars. Our careers are surrendered on the altars. Our families are surrendered on the altars. Everything is surrendered on the altar. We say, make it known to us what we're to do, God, each one of us. Then he says, be on the alert. Be on the alert then. He gave this whole parable to let us know. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. And if I could say it this way, that I'm coming for you. Not you collectively, you individually. We do not know when God is coming for us. My friend was in good health. You would not have guessed that he would be gone. So we don't know. We don't know. Sometimes we have warning through a sickness or an illness or a situation. Sometimes we have no warning, here today, gone tomorrow. And so, Father, we just say, let us make the most of the time while it is yet day. For night is coming when no man or woman or child will work. Let us gather the oil. Give us power, Holy Spirit, to overcome every spirit of depression, every spirit of oppression. We bind you and cast you away from us in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, for the mantle of praise refreshed upon us, that we will praise you. We will praise you. We will rejoice in all our blessings and in knowing you, and that will be first and foremost, no matter what's happening around us, no matter who comes and who goes, no matter who stands and who falls. You would be foremost. The love of our hearts. The love of our hearts. We would not have any idolatry before you, God. We would love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we would be full of oil. Thank you, Father. Fill us, God. Fill us with oil. Fill us with your love, and let us preach while we can, God. Let us preach while we can. Let us share and witness to neighbors and to loved ones and to different ones, God. You said it's the power of the gospel, not the power of the knowledge, but the power of the gospel. And so, God, I thank you that we can share even just a testimony. We can share our testimony like the Samaritan woman and see people turn to you, God. Thank you, Father. And then as they turn to you, let us not be embarrassed to introduce the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us introduce your blessed Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Baptizer. We thank you that he baptizes us and that your fire is poured out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless anyone listening. In the name of Jesus, I just pray a prayer blessing over you that this would be the day of complete surrender. Just surrendering all your sins, surrendering your life, your dreams, all that you have and all that you are to Jesus. Let him be the king upon the throne of your heart. And welcome his blessed Holy Spirit to come in right now, pouring over you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Never the same. Never the same, delivered, set free, healed, made whole, and filled to do the work of God in Jesus' name. Amen.